And as you get older, watching the Olympics, it makes you really wish for the redemption of your body. Even the redemption of a body you never had. I was thinking about this morning pole vaulting. There's just when I see someone do that, you know, like world record, like they put the pole into that box, and then they're headed upward with their momentum, and that thing is bent over so that it throws them the last feet over. There's just nothing that makes me want to go out in the backyard and try that. We expect something. We wait eagerly for our adoption and the redemption of our bodies. For he says, verse 24, in this hope we were saved. We are optimists. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So God has put something out there for us to look forward to. That's what faith is about. Of course you'll trust me if you have everything in hand. Or, I mean, you'll believe me. But will you believe me if you have not yet placed your eyes on it? But have placed your eyes on what I have done through my Son, Jesus the Messiah. That is what hope is about. He goes on, verse 26, and he talks about this amazing relationship that he has developed in us. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. How many of you have ever experienced not knowing even how to pray for something? Something that just is so shocking and so hurtful. You don't even have words for it. And God says, I'm right in that place. I'm right there. My Spirit will make words for you that are expressed to God. The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He's just way ahead of us. And so whatever little thing we're wrestling with today, maybe it's a big thing, maybe it's a little thing, he's there. He's right in the middle of it. We don't really have to explain it to him. He gets it. Verse 28. Here's a huge verse, another huge verse in chapter 8. And you can mark this one, I would. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is one of the great verses in the Bible. It's also one of the most misused verses in the Bible. What does it mean that God works for the good of those who love? What's good? Well, certainly good is that glory we're looking forward to. Do we put off anything on account of that glory? Certainly we do. There are things that we restrain ourselves from. There are things that we make ourselves do that we didn't want to do on account of that glory that is ahead of us. But is that all there is? Is that just, you know, nothing in this life? Or is God works out for the good mean I get everything I want? It's like a lottery ticket, and I just have all the cash I need so I can just buy anything. No, I don't think that's what the good is either, because I don't really think that's good for you. I think God knows that. If you raise children, you know how much good what they want is. Sometimes good, sometimes not. You know, you can only eat so many red vines at a time, right? I mean, but little guys will just keep on eating them. And we say, maybe that's not so good for you, so give me those back. God is dialing us in on himself. Right now, here in this life, he is blessing us now. Your character, the development of your character, becoming like Christ, that is good. And you're thinking, okay. I'm telling you that God changing your life and my life means more than bigger numbers in the bank account. It means far, far more than that. Because believe me, when you leave this life, all that's going away. It doesn't mean a thing to you at that point. Nope. He is doing good by us and for us. And that is really hard to get into our minds. It's really hard for us to believe that he's good and he actually loves us. But he does, and he promises that. All things are for good. They're brought to bear for his people. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, and it doesn't seem like it, but that's the time when the best things are really happening, when it's the most difficult. Let's go on. Verse 29. For those God foreknew, knew ahead of time, that is, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants you to be like Jesus. And if you are in Christ, I don't understand the whole mystery of this. He has always wanted you to be like his Son Jesus. Somewhere along the way, you had to make a choice. And I don't know how those two things come together, but they do. He is making you like his Son, conforming you to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Wow. To have an older brother who is firstborn, and I'm happy about it. Now, I am a firstborn, oldest brother. And so I'm not sure I could live with anything else, really. And those of you who have been set upon by older brothers, this is a different kind of older brother. This is the older brother you really wanted. The Lord Jesus, firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And in that ancient world, the notion of firstborn is very important. I mean, it's extremely important all through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who has rights of the firstborn? And so this is still in play in Paul's time. And so it's an important idea. And if anybody should be firstborn among those who are risen from the dead, is Christ. With him, I trust that he should be firstborn and I should be called his brother. Such a thing. He calls us brother and sister. He calls us friend. And those, verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. Wasn't just an idea. He went out and found you. And those he called, in other words, those who answered the call, he also justified, made right with God, reconciled with God, and those he justified, he also glorified. We're not there yet, but there's church going on in that heavenly place right now, says in Hebrews chapter 12. It's going on, and they're watching us. They're watching us. Will you be here with us? They're asking, or they're saying, we know you'll be here with us. Do you get how relational all this is? God isn't promising cars and bank accounts and vacations and any of that stuff. He's saying, I am turning you into a real person. A son or a daughter of God himself. brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the value system. And it may just take a while for you and I to get into that value system, because we live in a world that has very, very different values. But the truth is that God is offering everything you ever wanted. The reason you want to have lots of money, the reason you want to have a great car, the reason you want to have a beautiful house, the reason you want anything in this life is really because it makes you feel secure, it makes you feel loved, it makes you feel honored, it makes you feel respected. Those are the things we desire in our hearts. And that's exactly what he's offering, without all the stuff we think that it requires to get those kind of things. It's relational. It's our relationship with him. And so he gives us the Spirit of glory. And finally, in this last great section, our response. Our response is a celebration of our security in Christ. And if you want a contrast for this, go back to the story of David. And David, as a young man, played his harp in the court of King Saul and watched as Saul slowly went crazy because God withdrew his Holy Spirit from Saul, and Saul was no longer sure of himself. He no longer had a sense he was in the right place doing the right thing. And David saw that, and then the Holy Spirit was put upon David when he was anointed the next king. And then David committed an outrageous sin. He killed a man and took his wife. And David was scared to death that God would desert him. In Psalm 51, he says, "Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me." He was terrified. And what God is telling us in this passage is that this is a new time. In Christ, there is nothing that will separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that will break the seal of the Holy Spirit on you. That security you seek is with God. And we can celebrate that in Christ. Let me just read this last, just amazing section here, starting at verse 31. "What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? We are heirs of all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. He is the supremest supreme court of all. Who brings an accusation before God the judge against us?" And the answer is, "Who are you? Shut up. Get out of here. This one belongs to me." That's exactly where he's going here. Look at verse 34. "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." So, whoever comes to accuse, Jesus says to the Father, "This one is mine." And the Father says, "I know." Verse 35, "Who then, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" And those people were facing all those things. That's going on in the world where Dan O'Neill just entered right now. "As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So we have the Spirit of life. We have the Spirit of adoption. We have the Spirit of glory ahead of us. We are locked into Him as parents to a child. We are locked into His love for us. And we can live on that. We can live on that. Let's thank God. Thank you, Father, that we all will face no condemnation because we are in Christ, because you took the condemnation for us, and that we will never be separated from your love in Christ. It's not even possible. It doesn't come apart. You have made us what we are not capable of making ourselves. You've called us your sons and your daughters. And we are grateful for that today. Lord, help us to live like that. Help us to live out that life of the Spirit that you are calling us to. We ask it in the name of Jesus today. Amen.